to I'm Trying to Think, episode 32. I'm your host, Chuck Warner, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave. That was a little premature. Try it again. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
That was mature. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And you can become a fan on Facebook, which you should. Dave.
Yeah.
Let me tell you some sad news. We'll start off there.
Okay, sure.
First, I'll say the opening song is Dean's Dream by the Dead Milkmen.
That's not sad news. That's happy news, because that's a great song.
It's very happy news. Dave and I both love that song. It's our song for the moment. And sure. We find a better song. Yeah. I think my favorite Dead Milkmen song, but you said maybe Punk
yeah,
Rock Girl.
Yeah, Punk Rock Girl is kind of a perfect song for what it is. Yeah. Like, even just the guitar solo is exactly as dumb as it wants to be. It's just, it's a great, like, it's just perfect.
It's a perfect sort of self-contained song, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's nothing you could do to make that song better.
Like, I may like Dean's Dream more, but Punk Rock Girl is just probably a better song, and yeah. It's just a perfect, perfect song.
It's a perfect song in its own way. All right, so the sad news is, we are down to 30 fans on Facebook
from 31.
From 31. I don't know who we lost.
We're bleeding popularity.
I have not done popularity. The research. We are losing people, like, left and right, or at least left, because we only lost one. But still, when you go from 31 to 30, Dave, I'm no expert at math, but that's like 50% of your listeners that you've lost. There.
Yeah, something like that.
We lost like 50% of our fans.
I think we've alienated them with our tough talk on controversial issues.
And I'm just – now it's time for us to reach out. It's time for us to say, hey, we know there are three of you listening, possibly five. You five people are responsible for making this podcast more popular than it is right now. Dave and I have to spend all week, 2 weeks, for each episode – focusing on content, hilarity, more hilarity, and content.
Yeah, now that you mention it, we do have to do that.
Yeah, we don't have time to be publicizing and everything else. We don't have a staff, we don't have a publicist, we don't have a...
intern.
Director, we don't have a real, you know, writer or sound editor or anything else. It's just us. So we need you, the fans, to go out and carry the good word of I'm Trying to Think into the world.
Officially, I saw we got this big Frankenstein switch. It's labeled evangelism.
Yeah.
You just flipped it in the other and on position.
Yeah, I'm a big evangelist for I'm Trying to Think, and you should be too. I want you all out there to be I'm Trying to Think evangelists. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your uncle. Tell the guy who you're named after, your middle name. I mean, your middle name's probably after somebody. Think about it. Who is your middle name from? Tell them about I'm Trying to Think. They probably won't like it. But that's not the point. If one out of every 10 people that you tell likes it, well, then we could probably get another three listeners.
Also, I'm going to make one sort of amendment to that. You could probably hear me being a little uncertain in the background. I'm just going to say, no uncles.
No uncles.
No uncles.
I don't want to know.
I'm not in. I'm not in for that. I want an uncle-less audience.
All right.
Matter of fact, if you're an uncle, stop listening. Right now.
Now, do you mean uncle like the brother of your father, or do you mean uncle like an antiquated term used to refer to older male house slaves?
Mostly the former, but...
like, qua Uncle Tom.
I'd say mostly the former. In this case, I'm mostly talking about, you know, blood relative uncles. I'm not comfortable having them listen to the show.
Right.
But, yeah, if you're, you know, an older house slave, then for starters, you should probably leave, because that's not legal anymore.
It's not.
Not in any states.
No.
I mean, I'm going to say, War of Northern Aggression, we kicked some ass!
Yeah, we were aggressive for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
man!
Even if you're anti-uncle,
I think it's
important
recognizing that. Is it May that's going to be Confederate History Month, or are we in that right now in Virginia?
I don't know, because I'm not. I don't live in Virginia, and if my state governor were to say something like we were going to have a Confederate History Month, I would find him and I would talk some sense into him.
Yeah, for starters, I think you would have to go, you'd be like, okay, Ed, Pennsylvania was in the Union.
Yeah, we were in the Union. What are you doing, buddy? There was no Confederate action here.
That's, man, you're, if anything, you're driving tourism away from Gettysburg to Manassas.
I don't know if we've talked. That's no good. We've talked about Confederate flags before and their pure symbolism as racism, because they really, even if you think that the Civil War was about states' rights, the fact that everyone else associates the Civil War and the Confederate flag with slavery means it's still a racist symbol.
Also, even if you think the Civil War was about states' rights, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're also wrong.
I mean,
wrong.
It was about states' rights in so much as it was the states' rights to keep slaves.
Yeah, it was about the slaves.
Pretty explicit.
States' right to have slaves. It wasn't like a lot of the southern states were like, hey, you know what? We want to fund social welfare and you know, the northern states won't let us. No. That wasn't happening.
I mean, to be fair, historically, it wasn't just a matter where it's like one side's like, we love slavery, and the other side's like, well, we don't like slavery, and it's a war about slavery. It's more like one side is like, we love slavery, we're leaving the Union, and then the other side's like, no, you're not leaving the Union.
Well, yeah, there's also that. And, I mean, it was cultural, too. There was a lot of cultural conflict. All right, we don't have to go into a Civil War history.
No.
We can cover that on our podcast, our separate podcast about the Civil War.
Is that a
holy shit, giant Civil War.
Are you sure? I thought it was a Dave Stearns, Chuck Werner's, Ken Burns, The Civil War.
Yeah.
I thought we'd agreed on
that.
No,
that's our, PBS documentary series. Mm. That's different than the podcast. But anyway,
are you working on your reading a soldier's letter voiceover voice?
My dearest Martha. Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Right. Also, was everyone's wife in the Civil War named Martha?
I was
thinking the same thing. I was thinking Martha, too.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure why we go Martha first.
Martha, Margaret, maybe a Beatrice here and there. That was all the women's names.
Oh.
All women in that era were named that.
One of those three things?
Yeah. So, anyways, we don't need to go into the Civil War history, though, quite. But we can just touch on a few things. But I don't know that I mentioned the last time we talked about the Confederate flag, the hilarity of seeing a Confederate flag in West Virginia. Because it's like, no, you actually willfully created a new state
to not be in the Confederacy.
To not be in the Confederacy. Yeah,
that's 100% wrong.
Like, Confederate flag in Pennsylvania is kind of funny.
It's dumb in a different way.
Confederate
flag in
a
very specific
Virginia.
Way. Yeah.
You've added a whole other layer of dumb to it that I love. The more layers of dumb in something, the more I can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a really, I mean, basically, if I didn't enjoy it, I would go completely insane.
Yeah, it's enjoying it in a sort of grimacing, painful way.
Yeah, we'll,
it's kind of masochistic.
No secret, we were, we don't have secrets on this podcast. No secrets between us and the audience.
Yeah, we share.
We share.
We overshare.
Before we started the podcast today, we indulged in viewing the Insane Clown Posse. I don't know. Is that their newest video? Is that a new song?
Yeah, I would assume it is. I don't know. I don't keep up on all of the news.
We are not
minimally down with the clown.
Jugaboo, Jugaloo, Jugafoo.
You know it's Juggalo. You're just sort of
Jigaboo. Is that
no
thing?
That's a racist thing.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
Well.
I could tell you were going in that direction. It was like a very slow.
Wouldn't want guys who paint their faces white to be associated with
racism.
With racism,
no,
at all. Or who steal?
I think you're allowed to go into whiteface.
Who steal a musical form from a black culture? I don't, you know.
Well, actually,
and then rape it in the eye.
I've been thinking about stealing black music, but that's something we can get to on another segment, because that's a longer thing, and we're talking about a specific thing right now.
That's fine.
Yeah, we can get to that next segment.
The new Insane Clown Posse song, which I couldn't actually tell you another Insane Clown Posse song. I mean, we're sitting here, I could look it up, but I've never heard
worth the effort.
Someone at some point in my life said, oh, you've got to hear the Insane Clown Posse, you would love them. And they played them for me, and I was like, no, I do not love this.
Wait.
I don't know how, you don't know me very well, or perhaps we're not real friends. I don't know, but
at what point in your life were you surrounding yourself with anyone who would think that? Because that just seems so far off.
You know, I look, try to
That's
look.
far.
I remember the incident.
Off.
Yeah,
that's
I remember
not even close.
I remember the incident, and I try to think back at who it was and when it was. And I've associated with a lot of people in my life, and not all of them understood exactly where I was in my tastes.
And some of them apparently were down with the clown.
And some of them
were
down with
the clown. Which is a phrase I will keep saying, because it's not a phrase that gets less stupid the more you say it.
No.
I'll put it that way.
No. And less fun, or nor less funny. Right. But yeah, somebody who was down with the clown thought that I would like them. And they were incorrect. anyways. So... I haven't heard any Insane Clown Posse music in, I'd have to estimate 10 years. I don't know. Maybe less. They've been around a while. But anyways, I don't know how they.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know
a
how
they. A decade of the Insane Clown Posse.
I can't verify. It just feels like a decade. I'm sure the internet could verify it in short order.
A decade sounds like it's right.
All right. All right.
You can double check the math.
So anyways, watch this new video. For the song Miracles, in which the Insane Clown Posse wants to share a theory with us.
Yeah, they're going on a positive tip.
Now, I'm not quite sure they know what a theory is.
I'm fairly sure they don't.
21 years the Insane Clown Posse has been around.
Wow.
21 years.
So, wow. If you were born when the Insane Clown Posse started, you can drink now.
Yeah, congratulations. So they have a theory that they want to share with us. A theory about magic and miracles, which, if any, I could see Amy Grant opening a song with that line. I could see, Tori Amos, maybe.
For different reasons.
Yeah, for different reasons.
I'm going to say one of the, I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to say one of those two seems more pro-magic, one seems more pro-miracles.
Yeah. and what's great is that the Insane Clown Posse has combined magic and miracles into one compact package.
Well, magic is pretty miraculous, let's be honest.
Magic is, by definition, almost miraculous. At any rate, the song goes on to tell, basically, not to tell you anything, but to ask you questions about everything, or to simply establish that things exist and that you should look at them. Like, for instance, volcanoes, or one of my favorite lines... Hot lava, snow, rain, and fog, long neck giraffes, pet cats and dogs. Superb rhyming there, by the way.
Not as good. I think the best rhyming in the song is what I would say is the second most cliche rhyme in hip-hop, to the point where even people making rap jokes don't do this line because it's so done. And the only way it could be more cliche, I would say, is if it started with, "My name is, you know, the Insane Clown Posse, and I'm here to say."
Yeah.
Because after that, they do rhyme every day with every way.
Well, isn't...
Which astounded me. That was amazing.
Isn't it, you say, "I'm Chuck Warner, and I'm here to say," and then, "I love blah, 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 in a major way."
No, it could be in a major way, it could be
every day,
but basically the...
With Michael Bublé.
It could be with Michael Bublé, yes.
Anyways. So the song goes on. I just want to throw a couple more of my favorite lyrics out here. "Fucking rainbows after it rains. There's enough miracles here to blow your brain."
Yeah, they're very astounded with stuff.
They love that. Now let's get to the nitty gritty.
Sure.
"Stop and look around. It's all astounding. Water, fire, air, and dirt." All right.
They're covering their four elemental... Right. Well, they don't have a cadence either, so that's okay.
So it's okay.
Covering their four elemental bases.
Here's the big line, though. "Fucking magnets. How do they work? I don't want to talk to a scientist. Y'all motherfuckers lying and getting me pissed." All right. Now, There's a lot to unpack there. First of all, magnets, how do they work? Dave, we could just tackle this kind of with magnetic fields.
Yeah, that's the basic.
There's magnetic fields.
There's fields,
they exist,
you know, forces,
they
north, south poles, you know, repulsion, attraction.
In an object like a tiny piece of stone or metal that has a magnetic quality, it's just generating a magnetic field. It's not actually that interesting.
Although I will say, in fairness, how the fuck does that work?
All right. Well,
magnetic fields.
Yeah.
How do they work?
We don't. I don't think we really know because it's not the curvature. It's not a space-time curvature thing. It's an electric. It deals with the electrical. The electrical nature of the whole world.
Gauss is probably in there somewhere.
Gauss is involved. But, I mean, magnetism, is as a force is way more powerful than gravity, for instance, which is why a tiny magnet can hold a large mass and gravity will not pull it apart. Gravity is the weakest force, actually. But you could just as easily ask gravity, how does that work? Fucking gravity, how does that work? And then the answer is pretty similar. I mean, space-time curve, we have a theory. Now, that's an actual theory because it explains
things. They also have a theory.
Yeah, it's an
about
actual,
magic and miracles.
Gravity is an actual theory because it explains things, and it allows you to make predictions, which is really useful.
Well, in fairness, a theory about magic and miracles, this theory seems to generate the predictions... do you recognize miracles?
Yeah, everything.
Which are not predictions.
Everything around you is a miracle.
Everything is a miracle.
That's kind of a theory. We can test that. Like Dave, for instance. That's a very nice sweater you're wearing.
Yeah.
Is that sweater a miracle? Let's test it.
Yes. I got it at Target.
Now, what miraculous qualities does the sweater have?
Cotton. How does that work?
That's a good question. I don't know. It doesn't come from sheep. I know that.
Actually, I'm not even sure if it has cotton. I could check the label, but I don't care.
It would be easier for me to check the label. If you could check the label, that would almost be a miracle.
Yeah, people turning their heads like owls. That's a miracle.
That would be a miracle. But yeah, it's a song that is almost a profession, like an evangelistic profession of ignorance and the wonders of ignorance. Like, if you step back and think about it, nothing makes any sense.
Yep.
If you deconstruct everything, then there's nothing left. Hey.
Now you're getting a little postmodern.
If you're just like...
You're kind of spinning it.
If you're just like...
Taking it in a direction.
Why are there clouds? And then someone...
Wow.
And someone like explains it to you, like water vapor, blah, blah, blah. And you're like...
Fuck you.
Yeah, but why?
Well, no, because they don't even do that. Like, because that's one thing if you're doing, what I would say is the classic five-year-old tactic.
Yeah, where, five-year-old
like, if they
deconstructionist,
were, like,
if you will.
Magnets, how do they work? Well, there are magnetic fields. Why? Well, because of this. Why?
Yeah.
And then it drills down until eventually your father doesn't know or he hits you.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But they're not even doing that.
No.
They're just saying... Basically, the way they're doing it is, magnets, how do they work? Well, there's magnetic fields. No, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's
fucking
the tactic they're going.
Fucking scientists are lying. No, that's really what I want to talk about, Dave. Why is there an anti-science, movement, if you will, or an anti-science attitude that's beginning to prevail in our society?
Well, I would say that's actually pretty simple. It's because science says, scientists and, scientific conclusions are made, and scientists say things that we don't agree, and I mean, not we collectively, but, we, the societal,
mm-hmm.
don't agree with.
Now, do you think it's actually that they don't...
We can't be wrong. Therefore, science is wrong.
Do you think that it's actually that we can't agree with it, or do you think that it's, when science touches on something where you don't like what it has to tell you about the universe, you're forced to just kind of be like, no, this is not true.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's when science comes to a conclusion that's different from the conclusion that one wants, you're just like, oh, well, I guess we'll junk that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't agree with me. And I'm right.
It's
just this mind-boggling certainty.
It's a weird thing where people are like, I don't believe in the Big Bang. You can't prove any of that stuff, and, we don't know anything about the universe. You could just put down your cell phone then, because we don't understand. Obviously, we don't understand that, because it's the same science that's, powering your cell phone, satellite TV.
No, there's this really odd separation between science and technology that doesn't actually exist.
That's my point, though. We need to, I'm here on the podcastio, if you will, Like, it's like the radio.
I won't, but go on.
It's like the radio, but it's the podcast DO. The podcasting world, the podcast sphere.
Anyways, like that last song.
I'm there. And I'm just preaching, you know. I'm out here talking to people because I want them to speak up. We need to start talking serious sense into people about anti-science crap. We can't let that fly. And the 30 people who are fans on Facebook need to know, Dave. And they need to be out there fight for your right to science. You know what I mean?
Vaguely.
Okay.
I don't know, that kind of got away from us.
It didn't get away from me, man. The problem is that we have all the technology we have has come from our understanding of the universe. That's the only way we can make technology. In fact, a rudimentary understanding of gravity, for instance, let's just go with gravity. A rudimentary understanding of gravity is necessary to understand why a ramp is better than a cliff for pushing a rock up, right? Hmm. You have to understand a little bit about, oh, hey, this doesn't pull as much. Like, I'm not getting as much resistance if I do it this way.
I don't understand.
You don't understand?
No.
All right, well, do you understand how, you know, actually, vectors work?
No, I think, okay, I have a basic idea of ramps. Hold on. Wait. Okay. I'm going to throw this out there. Here's the thing about ramps.
Uh-huh.
Miracles.
Oh. Well, that's an alternative theory. That yep. is the that's what
ramps
we call
are
the,
a miracle.
We will call that the mentally unstable makeup based entertainment groups
theory.
No,
I will say it's the theory of, I like to call it the theory of the word miracle doesn't mean anything.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a second. What the hell is a miracle? Like, what would have to happen in your life
definitionally,
for you to say, that's a miracle?
Well, just going definitionally in this case, the answer is everything.
Everything. Yeah, but I'm saying you, anything. Dave. Let's separate the... You're not a member of the maddened mime cadres, you know, philosophical...
Man, you just swung and missed trying to find an M. You just swung and missed trying to find a third
M.
Really,
I could have. I could have been like maddened mime's magisterium.
Ooh, magisterium's not bad. I was thinking menagerie.
Menagerie is good.
Menagerie's
much
more. Yeah,
strong,
the maddened mime menageries.
The maddened mime menagerie, if you will.
Well, I've got to say, what it sounds like, because you're really not hitting that D enough, what it sounds like to me, which is a completely different but concept that I want to see about as much, possibly more, is the Madden Mime Menagerie.
Here's where you put your makeup on. Now, this is the invisible wall we draw out here. Now, the quarterback comes around the invisible wall, but he hits wind. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to say, that was a decent Madden.
Yeah.
Terrible mime.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I'm not going to lie. I mean, mime does not play well in podcasts.
Does not podcast
generally.
Well. We should start a mime podcast. Chuck and Dave's mime podcast.
The mime hour.
The mime hour, yeah.
The mime minute.
Yeah, we only need a mime minute, really.
You know, let's, you know, actually right now, let's take a break. Let's slip that in. We're going to take a break. We're going to give you a little preview. Chuck and Dave Mime Minute.
Oh, man. The Chuck and Dave Mime Minute coming up now. We interrupt this Chuck and Dave Mime Minute to bring you a special message from the Mime Council. And now, back to the Chuck and Dave Mime Minute. That was powerful stuff, Dave. That was really powerful.
Yeah.
I did not know you had that in you. If only this podcast did well.
I mean, Chuck, I'm just going to tip my hat to you and say, I did not even know that you could, to that level of detail, mime cutting and eating an entire roast chicken. With that sheer level of specificity.
3 years of mime grad school. That's all I'm saying. It pays off. It is worth the loan payments that I make every month. That's all I'm saying. All right, but miracles. Miracles, Dave. What would have to happen for you to say that that's a miracle? Mm. Like, what are the requirements? You know?
My personal life?
Yeah. Like a dude raises another dude from the dead. No tools, no instruments. Just like, whoop. Is that a miracle?
Yes. Sure. All right. That's a miracle.
Now here's, but here's the kicker. If he does it again, is it still a miracle?
Yeah.
If he does it 50 times, is it a miracle?
Yeah, but it's also getting kind of boring.
Okay. Now, let's say he explains it to you in, you know, pure scientific terms, in some way that at least makes basic sense to you, even if you don't understand all these underlying principles. Is it a miracle?
No.
Yeah, bam! It looks like one the first time, and maybe it looks like one the 50th time. But as soon as he tells you how it's done, it's over.
Yeah, so that's how everything is miracles. That's when you, how we can kind of wrap this segment up, is everything is miracles when you don't know anything.
When you have no clue what's going on, everything is a miracle. To a two-year-old, the world is miracles.
Or, you know, various angry, you know, clowns.
We're back to the mime minute now, Dave. You're just bringing it around. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for indulging me in my insane clown posse, yeah, would-be rant. It wasn't a very good rant, but I wanted to talk about that. But everybody out there should go out and Google it. It's like
it's a hell of a thing.
Insane Clown Posse Miracles. You won't hear me say this a lot, but this is a video that you need to watch. This is something you need to watch. And then you need to stop and think about your life and say, am I as dumb as the people in the Insane Clown Posse? Or am I willing to maybe recognize that the world can be investigated and there are answers?
Because those are the only two options you have. It's a pretty strict binary.
I am pretty sure that this is a dichotomy, a true dichotomy. Anyways, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. Episode 32 of I'm Trying to Think. Chuck Warner here, Dave Stern there. Now, we did one segment, we're about a half hour in. Have you told anyone yet to listen to I'm Trying to Think? Have you thought of who you could tell? Have you started a list? Tell them of the joys of this podcast, of the miracles that it has brought to your own life. And maybe, just maybe, some magic can happen.
It is a miracle. Sounds coming from speakers. I don't understand it.
How did they get through those little wires? How did they get on the internet? You don't know.
It's pretty much just magic and miracles.
Yeah, magic and miracles. All right, Dave, you have a topic. Topic away.
Yep. I kind of mentioned this offhandedly in our last segment, and I want to spin back to it. I believe we were talking about, you know, the Insane Clown Posse and, you know, kind of black music, you know, what they've done, you know, to black music, perhaps, you know, a horrible perversion thereof.
I would say.
But this is some kind of a concern I have about popular music in general. And then it kind of spins to, you know, African-American music just because, you know, you look at the history of popular music from, like, 1880 to current, and it's 80 to 90%, you know, just the history of black music. Right?
Right.
So, if you look at, you know, again, from like maybe the 1880s, 1890s to the late 20th century, you know, we get, okay, blues, jazz, rhythm and blues, you know, rock and roll, soul, funk, you know, just...
New R&B.
Yeah.
New jack swing.
No. I think... That's Poison. A thing. That is a thing that happened. But I think I'm talking like giant, you know, giant genre innovations. You know what I mean?
That girl is poison.
Okay, look, we all like Belle Biv DeVoe. All
right. As long as we
don't. I'm not putting that on the same level of musical, like, literal from nothing cometh a genre sort of innovation.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, you get hip-hop in about the late 70s, right?
Okay. Yeah, you know, yeah.
The Sugar Hill Gang,
right.
Zulu Nation, all that stuff starts up.
Yeah.
What have we gotten since then? I feel like the pace of musical innovation is slowing down. Like, what giant landmark, completely different genre and sound, you know, on the level of, you know, like, suddenly the blues is there, or, you know, suddenly, you know, jazz has spread, or, you know, like hip-hop, like the coming of hip-hop, or soul, or rock and roll, like, what's happened?
You're leaving something important to me out back in all those, which is,
Is it New Jack
Swing? Ska and reggae.
Okay, yeah, but I was mostly focusing on America, but yeah, sure. I mean, ska, reggae, really important.
Music has a lot of Jamaican influence on some American music,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. I was just sort of focusing on American genre, just in terms of my list, but yeah, ska and reggae.
One thing I would add is, boy, I should warn you. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Belle Biv DeVoe. Great.
Also, just Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah, Boys to Men, ABC, BBD.
Some Boys to Men. I'm not going to go all Boys to Men.
Tony Tone. Yeah, New Jack Swing.
Tony Tone's great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tangential to the point.
All right.
The point specifically being,
I have a theory, Dave.
I think, you know, black community, step it up a little. It's about time that there should be new genres of music happening.
I think that
new genres of music. Because let's face it, I mean, I like white people music, right? I like me some white people
music. White people music is strong.
But basically, the best things white people are getting are, like, the best things white people are going to do are either, you know, okay, what if we took, you know, some form of black music and added a guitar that goes dink, 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 dink to it, or you get, you know, what if instead of making our guitar go dink, 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 it went dark, 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 dark. That's the best white people are giving you, you know?
You know, give white people some credit for your bluegrass and honky-tonk stuff. I mean, you can say a lot of that. You could people, you know, talk about Elvis, and you know, pretty much all of his music being written by black
writers. I'll give white people credit for bluegrass because a lot of that is just like weird mutations of like European folk. You know, white people get bluegrass. White people get folk. I give white people like half to 65% credit for country.
Yeah, give white people.
You know, white
a lot
people
of,
did some things with rock. You know, white people did different things with rock music. You
one
know?
Thing that the white people really should get a lot of credit for is combining their own music with black music, like bringing folk music, certain folk music, whether it's like you know, your kind of Irish jig kind of music, or you know,
whoa,
yeah. Juggaloo. Anyways, Juggalimbo. Anyways.
Yeah, that's probably a contest they have.
You take that music, like, kind of how Led Zeppelin, you know, I'm going to take a moment to praise Led Zeppelin, as I always do, takes music from the old English countryside, brings some rhythm or some blues music into it. I mean, just kind of pounds it in there.
And just flat out steals riffs.
I mean, you know, at the time was a different thing than it is today. Today, that's like a mortal sin. At the time, it was just an illegal thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was just a legal sin. That's different. Completely different.
Well, I'm just saying the culture was different.
Right.
Know? Sampling.
Right. It was a different time.
Yeah. So, you know, they innovate a lot of music, and it's by combining music. You know, I mean, if you're saying, if we could just make this completely short-sighted and lovably ignorant, we could say black people invent new music, and then white people meld it with other kinds of music. But I have a theory.
I mean, in a certain reductive way. I mean, yeah, clearly that's overly reductive, but I get what you're getting at. Yes.
Anyways, I have a theory, though. I think that oppression and musical creativity have a direct correlation. The more oppressed you are, the more musical creativity you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not saying that racism is over, but as black oppression has decreased, maybe, maybe their need to make new forms of music has decreased. And certainly as white people, the least oppressed white people make terrible music, and the most oppressed have made pretty good music over the years. I mean, then that's why I think that there are so many Jews involved in the music industry. Huh. There you go.
That's one possibility. I've got another theory sort of along similar lines, but sort of a different angle that I'm willing to throw at you, you know? Because I would say this might be white people's fault in some ways, because here's the thing. I think a lot of these forms of music sort of get discarded in the favor of, you know, new invented forms of music when white people take them, start making all the money off of them, and making them boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I think we might be able to lay some of the blame for, you know, kind of the lack of, like, a new, completely different, you know, genre paradigm for black music at the feet of white people, because white people have not done a good enough job stealing hip-hop and making it shitty.
Well, you know, Dave, I do not like white people.
Yes, we've been over that.
I am strongly against the whites. So, I mean, I'm on board. But I think that if you look, that white people are really ruining, I mean, hardcore ruining black people music. Have you heard this? Have you heard Kesha?
Nope.
You need to go...
Completely ignored it.
You need to go look that up. She is this lady, and she is very white, and she does terrible, horrible things to, like, pop R&B. I mean,
pop R&B really has always been, like, I wouldn't even call that black music. That's just, like, as long as you have no sense of shame, it's a very multicultural and welcoming sort of kind of music. It's like, if you can sing terrible bullshit to mediocre beats, you know, you can be a pop R&B singer, you know, regardless of race, color, or creed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is kind of like, I don't know what to call, like, what do you call, like, the Beyoncé music? The up, like, because R&B used to be a very well-tempoed thing.
Like, you're talking, like, thing. Motown.
Then it goes into, like, your
slow jams.
Some of your boy slow jams. Yeah, slow jams. And then it comes back to, where is R&B? What is R&B now? Is it slow jams, or is it faster?
Is it that kind of up-tempo thing?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that up-tempo thing has gone away or been folded into, sort of absorbed into pop.
Like, all right, well, then you could call this just pop or whatever. You can call it pop with a bit of R&B influence, if you want.
But I think the main point you seem to be going with is that it's shitty.
It is shitty. Oh, my God, it's bad. Yeah, it's real bad. And I mean, like, this isn't, like Gwen Stefani completely decided to appropriate every kind of...
Yeah, she was just yelling over, like, a wannabe drumline kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was her thing, right?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I don't know. But I'm saying, I mean, clearly, anyways, I'm not saying white people aren't there in the trenches trying to take black music and make it shitty.
Right.
I'm just saying, clearly haven't done enough of a good job. And two, here's the thing. I'm not sure if the point is necessarily the making it shitty part. And this may loop around to your oppression thing somewhat and kind of feed into it. I think the real driver of the innovation isn't like, oh, white people have made this black music shitty, so black people are going to invent better music.
Right.
I think it's mainly white people started making all the money from this music.
That's possible.
I feel like, you know, I feel like following the money is the main thing. So
if
I feel
can.
Like perhaps in the reduction of oppression that you've talked about, you know, more expanded civil rights, you know, better equality, you know, well, closer to equality. Better equality is a stupid phrase now that I think about it.
But something approaching a standard of living.
I think in that case, maybe it's been harder, basically. You know, black people have been able to make, you know, hip-hop and aren't, you know, hip-hop and keep a lot of the money, which is, you know, good in a social sense. You know, that's great. That is what these artists deserve. But means that people aren't frantically coming up with better kinds of music.
But here's the...
I don't know.
If I can relate back to how this oppression thing kind of continues into the future, a lot of the music that you have right now that's very popular is nerd music. There are a lot of
I feel like
nerd...
very popular is a strong...
No, I mean...
I don't know. Well, I suppose indie rock is nerd music.
Yeah, exactly.
Indie rock's nerd music, like, and that's getting
look at Look
popular.
At a very popular... A band with a lot of length to their songs. OK Go has gotten gets a lot of play. They are one of the nerdiest bands you could find.
Yeah. I mean,
super nerds.
A lot of chubby, bespectacled gentlemen are, you know, making the rock music these days.
Yeah. You know, you got and you got a lot of bearded guys. Like Zach Galifianakis looking motherfuckers. Like Passion Pit has a guy with a big fucking beard. I think My Morning Jacket has like four guys with big beards. And we know that nerds love big beards.
That's true.
Nerd culture.
There's been sort of indie rock, like Williamsburg hipster style and like Unix guy style.
Yeah.
Have kind of started converging.
Yeah.
Basically, it comes down to whether your flannel shirt has how many stains it has.
Right. In my youth, if I walked into a computer cluster, I saw guys with big beards and they weren't cool. Now, if you go into a computer cluster and see guys with big beards, they might be cool. You have no idea. Because computer use is mainstream. Big beards is like a big bearded hipster is fine. That's a fine thing. You can get away with that. Now I have no idea. Are these guys complete social outcasts or are they in a band?
The secret is start talking to them.
Yeah, I mean, the secret is start talking to them. But then let's face it, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Why run the risk?
Why run the risk? So, you know, but as nerds become mainstream, then that oppression is going to go out the window, and there's going to be nothing left, and it's going to squeeze all of
the... Going, gone. Okay, so where's the next great music coming from? If we're looking at oppression... Because it's not like there aren't any oppressed people in the world at this point.
So. Well, I'm not saying there aren't any oppressed people in the world. I'm saying the relative... If you want to innovate, you have to really put on some strong oppression. And give the people the instruments and stuff that they need. Because, I mean, while there are horrible things going on in Africa...
They don't have guitars.
Mixers. Yeah.
Right.
They don't have mixers. They don't have recording studios. So you're not getting any of this. You know, you're getting anything out of them.
What I'm hearing is like, one of two things.
Women in Saudi Arabia are so oppressed that they're not given any access to anything.
So I'm hearing two things. Listen to me. One, there can just be a direct aid program where it's basically just getting instruments and recording equipment and, you know, turntables and whatnot. You know, just anything they can use to create music into the hands of, you know, the most oppressed people on the earth.
I think
that could be a way to generate new genres.
I think that it would be a mistake to call that aid. I think what you're looking at is an investment opportunity.
Oh, okay. You know, you're looking
you're looking to churn out artists.
So you're looking, this is how you're going to be the new sort of Ahmet Etrigan.
You're going to be the new, you know, whatever that Colonel, you know, Elvis's dude.
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel whatever.
Pretty sure it's Colonel Sanders.
I don't know. Was he a sergeant? A major, perhaps? I don't remember his rank, but... Yeah, you're going for investment. You're going to find somebody who is, you know, destitute and is happy that you're giving them apples, basically, and you're taking millions of dollars. They're like, no, 90% is the standard fee for an agent.
Okay. And I'm going to throw another thing out there is... If you've got that opportunity, here's one that might be a little more work, but also lets you, I think, go into... Because clearly we're smart, but I don't think we're the only people who are seeing, you know, we need to go into these areas where, with the, you know, the oppressed masses of the earth and give them, you know, microphones and then take most of their money. Like, I feel like we can't be the only people with that idea. So I think once, you know, those markets start getting a little hot and heavy...
Yeah.
Sort of, there's an end run around this, which, you know, because this, I'd say, is our, you know, one hand is extended to you in, you know, friendship, while the other hand picks your pocket. That's kind of this. But I have another policy. This, you know, it sort of falls down in metaphor because it requires three hands for the metaphor.
All right.
Bear with me. So this is a policy where, you know, you go into markets that aren't really oppressed yet. You know, actually, no, let's say, forget the three hand thing. I can do this with two hands and a boot.
Okay.
Two hands and a jackboot.
All right. We'll call this place. I know exactly where you're going, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's say, you know, instead, you know, it's people who aren't oppressed. Like, let's say we go to Saskatchewan. Okay?
Right.
We got a group of about, like, a small town in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Let's say, you know. We get a group of maybe 100 guys, just real thuggy motherfuckers, right?
Okay.
We get go into this small town, you know, cut off lines of communication, and just have our 100, you know, really thuggy guys just start oppressing the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, Dave, you're
then
you're really
then
missing,
give them the contracts.
You're missing something,
you know.
Here.
Then give them the instruments.
It takes generations of oppression to create good music. So you're going
to
have to.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You're going to have to. I mean, this is like a natural diamond versus a, you know, a cubic zirconia or something else similar. You know, it's still carbon, but it looks like a diamond. But it doesn't. It didn't sit under the earth for that time, you know.
Well, I've got two things to say to that. I think one, there's still good money in cubic zirconium.
Oh yeah.
There's still good money in the cubic zirconium.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
And
there's...
two, this is different because this is like a cubic zirconium factory where you know you start. You're making your immediate money on cubic zirconium. But then you start funneling it. You're growing diamonds also,
Dave,
simultaneously.
Dave,
you know,
they're selling
you're laying
out,
the seeds of oppression.
They're selling
that
out
will bear fruit later.
As an artist. You could sell out as an artist. But it is also possible to sell out as a promoter or an agent, all right? Just as a for instance in your life. You could make a bundle of money, maybe, if you were an agent or a producer or something with a group like, for instance, the Insane Clown Posse. But
wait,
how would that make you feel?
Okay, I think I see where you're going. Are you saying that I lose my, you know, music business, swinging dick asshole cred by manufacturing oppression instead of taking advantage of the real oppressed? Are you saying that that makes me lose my cred?
Yeah, not only your cred, but I think you would be less satisfied. I think you would be less satisfied in your...
I don't know, but on the other hand, I think the satisfaction that you lose from that really taking advantage of desperate people, you make up for by taking, you know, the sort of, I'd say maybe half satisfaction you get by, you know, creating these sort of desperate people and taking advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you make up for that with the satisfaction of an oppressor. Because, you know, people like being oppressors. I mean, that's why people throughout human history keep doing it, as I understand, because it's
fun. Yeah,
it's
fun. I mean,
it's super
fun. It's super fun.
So I feel like in overall job satisfaction, it's like, you know, you may be less of, you know, less good as an opportunistic swindling rat fuck, but you make up for that by being maybe 50% of an opportunistic swindling rat fuck and also being a brutal overlord.
Yeah.
I think so. I think total job satisfaction may be the same or even higher.
It may be even higher. You know, I don't know if you need the music once you have the brutal overlord thing. I don't know that you need to be looking for artists or innovations at that point. You can just be a brutal overlord. And you can innovate in the field of brutal overlord. Because, let's face it, there's a lot of room, you know what I mean, to grow. Because we've had brutal overlords. Tons and tons of them, right?
But they could be brutaler.
They could, A, be brutaler, and B, they're very rarely successful outside of your... You know, a Stalin here and there. You know? Like, Stalin, in the end, nothing really bad happened to him. He ended out okay. Like, your Hitler, that's just a failed... I mean, that's a...
Yeah, that was kind of a swing, you know? Maybe a double, but he got thrown out at third base.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
In terms of being a brutal oppressor.
And Stalin, in the park home run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he really hustled around those bases.
He had to hustle around the bases still. He didn't have it made from the get-go.
But, yeah, ultimately, how did he die exactly? Did he just die?
He just died. I don't think there's anything spectacular or interesting about him.
Okay, his we can death. Check that in the next break.
We can check that right now. Because, Dave, I don't want to tell you this, but it looks to me like it might be about that time. It looks to me like we may have worn out our welcome. I wanted to mention...
Okay, let's find out how Stalin died. And then...
Well, we want to mention briefly that people might be asking a little bit of a question or two about the fact that this is episode 32.
It's true.
Do you think
that may seem surprising?
Curious.
And they probably listen to episode 30, and then they're like, well, there's episode 30, and then there's episode 32. How did those, you know, what happened to, if you will, episode 31? It's
a funny story.
Funny story.
Well, we lost it. We lost episode 31. Had it. It gone.
Yeah, it's the lost episode. That's all. I mean, we could just summarize it as that. It's the lost episode. Apparently, it looks like maybe Solon was poisoned. Not a bad way to go, though.
Okay, so, you know, maybe inside the park home run, he may have been thrown out at home plate. Maybe didn't quite. But he, at least in terms of being a brutal oppressor and not meeting a horrible end, he might have hit a triple, and then got thrown out trying to stretch it into an inside the park home run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting. There's a bunch of paragraphs here. It's possible he was assassinated, but maybe he just died of a stroke.
It's a stroke, which may or may not have been caused by poison.
It's poison.
That Stalin was poisoned.
There you go. We don't know for sure.
Okay, so I think that actually reinforces your point, where, you know, even your, you know, A-plus top history brutal overlords seem to just get poisoned and die and just meet nasty ends. So there's clearly a lot of innovation in the field of, if not necessarily just creative and horrible, brutal overlording, there's innovation to be made in getting away with it.
Well, getting away with it is really the key. I mean,
but Chuck,
yeah,
I got to say, I remember when it was about the music, man.
Dude, I remember when it was about the music, too.
It's maybe 15 minutes ago.
Oh, boy. So that was episode 32. And if I could, I want to throw some more lyrics out there. From the insane.
If you must, I suppose we can't stop you.
Just to leave people with some thoughts. I think we should. I mean, maybe we should read lyrics from the song at the end of every episode to give people just something.
Kind
of
like our aphorisms.
Yeah, it's
just our aphorism ending.
Just something to think about. I have seen 85,000 people all in one room together as equals. Pure magic is the birth of my kids. I've seen shit that'll shock your eyelids. The sun and the moon, even Mars. The Milky Way, fucking shooting stars. UFOs, a river flows. Plant a little seed, and nature grows. Thank you. I mean,
ending with these, then I'm just going to end with my favorite line, and we'll just close it off. I fed a fish to a pelican in Frisco Bay, and he tried to eat my cell phone. He ran away. And you see, I like that one because it gives you something to think about, because even assuming the sort of debased context of miracles that they're talking about,
right,
where it's basically just like, because most of it, you know, I'm going to be willing to say they're saying stuff in the world that's impressive is a miracle.
Okay.
Which is, you know, kind of a shitty definition of that, but I feel like that's mostly what they were shooting for.
Okay.
Then even from that, the thing I just mentioned, that's not really impressive. That's just a thing that happened.
It's a miracle, Dave. It's a thing that happened. And, I mean, let's think of all the miracles that led up to that miracle. He walked out the door that morning. He had a cell phone. I mean, guarantee you that a cell phone generates a magnetic field.
Probably got some fucking magnets in it.
Fucking magnets. We don't even know how they work, so that's a miracle.
There's pelicans.
Pelicans? Where did they come
from?
There's
bridges.
That's a fucking miracle.
There's bridges.
There's San Francisco. That's a fucking miracle. So, I mean, there's just a pile of miracles that makes, like, a miracle pile. And then at the top of the miracle pile is, like, a miracle cherry.
Okay.
And so he's just talking about the miracle cherry, but you got to remember,
that's built on a mountain of miracles.
That's a miracle pile, motherfucker.
Okay, so in conclusion, you know, with all these miracles, you know, Insane Clown Posse, keep on keeping on, keep doing what you're doing,
yeah,
and hopefully, you know, that will help shame black people into coming up with a new genre of music.
Yeah, please. And honestly,
though, and it's not that I don't like rap. I like rap. But I just feel like there's time for another thing to happen.
I like rap, but I don't like the thing the Insane Clown Posse does. And I just want to throw this out there, too. If the Insane Clown Posse, because I think there's two guys, right?
Yeah.
Basically. If they ever want to have, like, a formal debate with us, I'm signing up right now. I mean, you know, 10-minute opening, 15 minutes back and forth, whatever, some questions at the end. However, whatever structure they want to observe.
Honestly, if the structure they want to observe is rap battle, I think we could probably take
them. I think we could take rap battle. I mean, we would be in that, yeah.
And I mean, not saying that because I have
time,
any skill.
No, as but a if rapper, they had but. Time to sit and write music, and that's what they came up with, in 5 minutes, I'm sure I could come up with something better. So I'm willing to, you know,
make it happen.
Is there a word for the
throw down?
Throw down.
Start some shit.
Well, see, I don't understand all the lingo in the Juggalo world. It's kind of like Scientology, you know. You create your own words, and then it further isolates the person from the rest of society, and thus you can control them more.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
I don't really think the Insane Clown Posse is consciously aware of their possible ability to do that, nor what could be achieved if they actually worked out.
I don't know. I feel like they did. I mean, they make the music they make, yet they've sold over 6 million records. I think they're pretty much aware. I mean, they're not, you know, trying to necessarily purge your juggalitans, but they're about, they're right up there. They're right up there.
No, they don't want to purge your juggalitans, man. They want to inject you with juggalitans that make you, I don't know, piss in public or, you know, wear the same clothes for 3 days. I don't know, drink until you vomit. Whatever, you know, other juggalo-related activities you want to conduct. I mean, they have a cult in a way. It's just not a very effective one.
I don't know, 6 million records of that shit says to me it's a pretty, they're doing a pretty good job cult-wise.
I just want to know, how do you even start a band like that and get somebody to seriously, like, book you in a room where you're allowed to play your shitty music and your crazy makeup? I just want to know.
Man,
how does that even start?
Kiss Army, man.
Kiss makes music that's almost good, though.
I mean, it's less bad.
It is less bad.
It's less bad.
By far. I say it's almost good.
And I think we'll leave you with that.
We will leave you with that. This has been episode 32 of I'm Trying to Think. You should be out recruiting right now. Into the I'm Trying to Think army.
Or for Juggalos.
Yeah, we
just
need
go
our own.
For Juggalos.
We need our own, name for our I'm Trying to Think fans. But I think thinkers would be going too far. Thinkalos, maybe.
No, I can't support that. I'm not on board. I'm off board. I'm diving off the ship.
All right. How about I got nothing.
Yeah, that's an open action item. You know?
Oh, wait.
Email
wait,
us
wait, wait.
If you've got a good name
if
for
you've
our
got
fan
a good
base.
Name, yeah. Email us.
Email us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
There you go.
Oh man, that was a unison thing.
You're
we
welcome.
Did that.
You're welcome. How about Team Thinkatron?
You're getting me closer to on board.
Like, I'm just saying,
you know,
Team
I'm
Thinkatron.
Just saying, I'm still strapped my parachute on, but I haven't jumped out.
If there was a T-shirt with like a robot on it and it said "Join Team Thinkatron," you know you'd want that T-shirt. You know you'd want that T-shirt. And
I have
you know
so
who
many
the robot
t-shirts.
Is, right?
Of course, it's
Planko.
It's
man.
Planko. Yeah,
it's Planko.
He's got his board. He's looking a little menacing.
Board and he's looking menacing at you. And you got to decide, is it just to put him in prison or not, you know? Anyways. All right. Again, that was episode 32 for the third time. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 33. Episode 31, gone.
Into the mists.
Yeah, into the mists.
Jane Fossey.
It's like
no, Diane Fossey. Stuff.
No,
Jane
Fossey's
like not a person.
No, I don't know who that is.
It's Diane Fossey. Gorilla's in the mists.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Jane Goodall.
Yeah, I was crossing my chimp ladies.
You were crossing your monkey ladies. Not chimp ladies. Monkey ladies. Because gorillas are not chimps.
But gorillas aren't monkeys either, my friend.
No, they're all apes.
We're equally wrong.
We just call them monkeys because it's
because we're racist.
Yeah, we're
gorillas.
Racist. Yeah, I had something else to say. Your monkey talk completely threw me off.
Like it will.
All right. Join Team Thicatron and recruit now because there'll be a bonus. We'll pyramid scheme this shit.
Yeah, we're getting all Amway up in here.
We will Amway the hell out of this. So, yeah, episode 31, gone. Brigadoon, that's what I was going to bring up.
Why? What?
Like Brigadoon, because Brigadoon, you know, it comes and it disappears, man. And what? That's it. You can't see Brigadoon again.
What?
It's a city that comes out of the mists.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the musical.
Well, the musical's about the big, it's about the city that comes, it appears, and then it disappears.
Yeah, I just thought you were saying that Brigadoon the musical is a magical thing that comes and disappears.
It is.
I thought you were a layer above where you were. If only
Brigadoon the musical were like Brigadoon the place, and only came in under the earth every 30 years. Because it's not that good.
I feel like it books and tours pretty regularly, like a standard show.
Yeah, but it's not that good. All right. Okay. That was episode 32.
Why can't we end this show?
We'll be back
Jesus
in 2 weeks.
God almighty.
With episode 33. Remember, look around you. Everywhere. There are miracles. Say goodbye, Dave.
Goodbye.
Even kind of topical because there's like that volcano in Iceland.
Yep.
So you know
Europe.
Yeah, that was Born to Love Volcanoes by the Dead Monkmen. That was episode 32.
Fuck.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Fuck.
I'm just talking.
We gotta end this episode.
I'm just horrified, you know.
Oh, we gotta stop this shit.
Goodbye.